Sunday evening, getting ready for the week. let me pray, yes? Lord, we thank you for this time and we thank you for your word and we want to hear from you. Señor, te agradecemos por tu presencia, queremos escuchar de ti, de tu palabra. En el nombre de Cristo Jesús, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Right, in English, there is something called phrasal verbs. It's a grammar thing. And and when I came here to learn English 20-something years ago, I had to study or memorize at least 3,000 of them. So to be able to kind of speak some sort of colloquial English. And phrasal verbs is just a verb and a preposition. A verb and a preposition next to each other. And the verb itself doesn't change. Yeah. But the preposition is a kind of grasshopper chameleon that keeps changing position in the sentence. And keeps changing around and changing itself to make English much more fun to learn. So now that you're quite confused about it, I'm going to give you an example. So, for instance, you can say the verb to call. You can say, I can say to you, I'm calling you. Clear, yeah? I'm calling you. But that verb to call, I can add a preposition and I can say different things. Let me tell you, the verb to call is very interesting. You can say call after, call around, call round, call away, call back, call for, call forth, call in, call off, call on with 5 different uses, call up with 5 different uses, call out, call at, call by, and call down. This is one verb. So congratulations, you've learned all these things since you were a little child. I had to memorize them. So good. We don't have phrasal verbs in Spanish. We don't. So instead of saying, I will call you back, this is very normal. This is call you back, call back, phrasal verb. In Spanish, we always say, I will return your phone call. We are posh, you see. So we always explain the whole thing. We don't use phrasal verbs. And I'm always fascinated about phrasal verbs. And I want to use phrasal verb tonight. And to talk about the calling. The calling. Jesus speaks for the first time in the Gospel of Mark. Yeah, for the first time in the Gospel of Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, yeah. And in the first thing he says is he does a calling. And he says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is here, is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And then he called the disciples, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. So this evening I would like to refresh your memory, our memory, and rediscover the meaning of that call. He has called you to follow him. And we all had different journeys, isn't it? But we are all standing here on the rock. Yeah, the rock of salvation. And this evening I would like to appeal to our first love when we surrender our will to him, that specific moment. Yeah. So let's go back to that moment. So we have this immortal longing, isn't it? We are kind of allergic to death. Death is painful. We feel like we are not meant to die. We have that inside us. We feel we are not who we are meant to be. And C.S. Lewis says I am made for another world. And I agree. So the first phrasal verb is call for, call for. So we heard the message, the gospel, the news, the good news, and it calls for celebration. It goes for celebration because the gospel is not any message. It's the beginning of something new. And I loved what Keith said last Sunday. I don't know if you were here last Sunday morning, in the morning, the preaching in the morning. And he talked about, he says something about the new, the word new, that in Greek it has a different meaning. It's a new creation. It's not something, a new shoe or a new car. So it's something new, completely new, unprecedented. And that's the word he used, unprecedented. I took notes, you see. Unprecedented, unmatched. So it has divided your life in before and after. The appearance of Jesus echoes the timelessness of eternity. You see, I was born into a Christian family. My dad was a pastor in Argentina. But I could not inherit Christianity, as you know. So I had the call of God when I was 9 years old. I remember that moment very well. I was wearing a green dress. I remember that. I remember that moment when that happened. I still remember how hungry I was for the Word of God. I wanted to eat the Bible, literally, like a piece of cake. I wanted to eat it. I could not put the Bible down. I was reading the Gospel of John constantly, again and again and again. I was 9 years old. And then when I was 17, I was called to lead the youth in the church. I was one of them, other 17s, but I just threw myself into it. The truth is that you and I did not qualify to be called. We didn't qualify. The call of God does not come because we are qualified. We are qualified because it has come. Yeah? The call of God qualified us. Repent. The word repent. Repent, it has become a word out of fashion, isn't it? Repent. I remember somebody telling me, I don't know who told me, I don't know if it was a joke or it's real, but he told me that there was a vicar that had a name, they named his dog Repent. So he was making a statement every time he called the dog in the park. Yeah, Repent, come here, Repent, pick up the ball, you know. So last Sunday, Bimbi invited us to read the confession, and he said, "Our past, present, and future sins are forgiven." I believe confession is important. We need to acknowledge daily that sin is not a joke. Small, big, whatever. Sin is not a joke. Sin becomes a presence in our lives, weakens our will, blinds us. It becomes a horrible thing. God himself had to come up with a unique plan. Only the blood of the holy could clean up the mess. The power of sin is that big, but the grace, love of God is bigger. So that was call for a celebration. Second phrase of verb, I have four, sorry. Second one, call off. The calling has canceled our appointments. Cancel our appointments. The call is drastic, disturbing, disrupting. As I said, there is a before and there is an after. In John chapter 14, says, "Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, cannot be my disciple." This is quite drastic, but I would like to make a reference to the society where Jesus lived. Family was a priority. Family gave them identity, right? Veracity. Matthew's gospel starts with the genealogy to show where did Jesus come from. Yeah, it's important. Family was, identity. They gave the name, was giving them identity. And Jesus saying, look, I don't want this. You don't need that. I want to be the first in your life. This is my calling. Nowadays, we live in a very individualistic culture where achievements are crucial, where my time is taking over our time. So we could rephrase this verse and we could say, let go of your time, your career, your plans, your profession, your status, and follow me. It's a call that implies giving up your will. I love to revisit the calling of Abraham. Even his name was changed. The whole thing, isn't it? God says, leave your country, your family, your father's home for a land that I will show you. Abraham could have said, where? Oh, I will show you. I'm not telling you now where I'm taking you. Later on, he promises, I will give you a son. When? I will give you a son. So we usually, when God calls us to do something, we usually have a lot of ifs in our mind. We could say, well, I will go, I will do that if it's near my family, or if I get the job, or if my children get the type of education that I would like them to have. If. But there is a key here that what is on the other side of the if, right, of each thought is your real master. Okay? Shall I say it again? Because I'm going to say it again because he has a revelation to me. We get a lot of ifs. I will do it if, I will do it that, if. But what is on the other side of the if is our real master. So it's something to think about. Jesus will not be means to an end. We did not accept his invitation because he was going to make us better people, happier. We accept his invitation because he is the true king. Third phrase of verb, calling in. The call is an ongoing call. Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. There was a word, become. It is like saying, I will put you in the process as you follow me. It is not a stationary journey. Look, listen to this. God invites us to come as we are. Yes, God invites us to come as we are, but not to stay as we are. Okay? God invites us to come as we are, but not to stay as we are. And here is when the word of God becomes so crucial, so important. I have a problem. I have a problem with the phrase, Jesus wants to be your friend. You know, in the holiday club, no, I don't think in this holiday club, in other holiday clubs, we will sing in the Jesus, I am a friend of God. The little children love it. And we say, no, Jesus wants to be your friend. He always wants to be your friend. But you know, for me, this is a partial truth. I'm ready for a rebuke, theological rebuke here, don't worry. Because this idea of friends comes from John chapter 15 when he says, you are my friends. But he says, when you do whatever I command you. So this is not a concept of friendship that our children may use, may be used to. I can assure you that Lawrence will not do whatever his friends command him. We need to familiarize ourselves with his commands, and this is a part of the process of becoming fishers of men. A close, close look at the Word of God. It's an ongoing learning. We are in the making. The curious thing is that the more we learn, the hungrier we become. Last reservoir, call up. Yes, call up to serve. The call is a missionary radical. I will make you fisher of men. To Abraham he said, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. We were called to be a blessing, and when we bless others, we are blessed. I keep thinking about the measuring tape. Do you remember when I was here last time, Sunday morning, that I brought the measuring tape? And I said, keep thinking about that measuring tape. And daily I think, wherever I am, I go to my children's schools very often, stand up with those mothers very often, whatever, how can I be a blessing? Yeah, how can I be a blessing to them? Who can I give part of my life? Because every time we give time to somebody, that time doesn't come back. Yeah, we are giving it to that person. It's a blessing. It's a present to that person. That time does never come back. So how can I give that? Well, see, we live these cluttered lives. Our connections are so diverse and multi-layer, yeah? Everything and everybody at the same time, especially with our mobile phones, yeah? Impossible task. If you think about that, it's impossible. No roots, quite superficial. In the end, we end up without a meaningful relationship. We are missing something from our first calling. We keep missing something from our first calling. We understand what we have to do, but we end up doing something else. So I'm going to read something from Romans, from the Message. The other day I was driving, and I have the Message Bible as a CD, so I keep listening. And this passage came, and I said, yes, I needed to listen to this one once again. It says, what I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another one, doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I cannot do it. I decide to do good. I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trap me up. I truly delight in God's command, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Part of me, covertly rebel, and just when I least expect, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? And then later on he writes, with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, the faithful dilemma is resolved. A new power is in action. The spirit of life is in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. You see, the Father planted, the Son purchased it, but the Spirit preserves it. The Spirit of God preserves it. The Spirit of God, we need to get hold of that thing again. Again and again and again. If you don't want to do any any work or any missionary work, community work, any reach out, anything, we cannot do it as ourselves with our own strength, because it's going to fail. It's going to fail. It has to be through the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that called you, called me when I was 9 years old, is that the same Spirit that's still working, the same Spirit. And tonight, I would like to suggest, if you can go in twos or in threes, And this is a good gathering, because it's a small gathering. It's not the whole church in the morning, isn't it? It's a small group of people. We know each other. Just come together. We come together and we pray that the Spirit of God will fall upon us again, will refresh us, will give us that first love, that first thing that we experience when Jesus called us. This morning I woke up. This has never happened to me. I woke up with a song in my head. That is a song in my head, but not any song. I heard this song probably 30 years ago. I haven't heard that song again, because it's a song in Spanish and I've been living here for long enough to. I learned that song many, many, many years ago, and the whole song came to my mind. So I went to check it in my phone, because I wanted to know if all the lyrics, I had it with me. And it was exactly the whole thing. I remember the whole thing. But somebody in the internet wrote after the song, and it says, it wrote like, the song is about more and more of the Spirit. Yeah, and the song, at the end of the song, says, because even when you were sleeping, God, it was something in Spanish, even when you were sleeping, God was still at work in you. And early, in the morning when you wake up to have such a revelation, something, it was very powerful. So the presence of God, the Spirit of God. So I would like to suggest that, please, if we can come in twos or threes and just pray that the Spirit, specific prayer, that the Spirit of God will come afresh on each one of us. God bless you.